This is Cashflow Ninja, episode 228 with Mike Zeller.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Here is your host inside the dojo, MC Laubscher.
Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Laubscher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today, and in today's show, we're going to look how to harness the power of masterminds. My guest in this episode is Mike Zeller. Mike is a highly successful entrepreneur, and he lives by one powerful principle. Don't go it alone. He has helped launch and develop 9 businesses in 5 different industries over the past 10 years, bringing in over $100 million in combined revenue. His secret weapon, mastermind groups. After experiencing the game-changing results of participating in a mastermind, Mike decided he wanted to help other business owners do the same. He founded Rising Stars Mastermind Groups in January 2016, with a mission to help bring passionate visionaries and business owners together to spur each other on to greater heights and collectively become the greater force for the good in the world. Please share your feedback and thoughts on today's interview. You can let me know your thoughts on Twitter by tweeting me at MC Laubscher or by email at info@cashflowninja.com. And please remember to join our mailing list by signing up at cashflowninja.com or texting cashflowninja to 44222. To ensure you never miss one of our episodes, you can download our free interactive smartphone apps on the Apple and Google Play app stores. I've also created a Cashflow Ninja investment group where I share opportunities that I'm investing in with my fellow investors. If you're interested in joining this group, please email me at info@cashflowninja.com and we will continue the conversation to see if you're a good fit for our group. I've always thought that if there are only a handful of people that have built indestructible wealth in any economy and market, why are we following the advice and doing what the majority of people are doing that are struggling financially? My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy, but you need to pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his company create value for investors looking for high yield returns from real estate ventures domestically and internationally. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as the syndication opportunity at the Mahogany Bay Village in Belize, investment opportunities in the multifamily space in the United States, and ATM syndication opportunities, visit cashflowninja.com/real-asset-investor. Are you interested in real estate investing but don't know where to start? JoinOps Properties is the premier provider of turnkey lease option investment properties. With their proven system, you can have cash flow within 30 days. To get cash flow within 30 days, go to joinopsproperties.com. The wealthiest investors on the planet know how to capture their wealth and leverage it to perpetually grow it. If you're interested in learning the premier strategies of the wealthiest individuals and families on the planet, you can access an educational webinar at cashflowninja.com/be-the-bank. Mike, welcome to the show.
Dude, excited to be here, MC. It's going to be a great chat, I am sure. Already enjoyed connecting with you before we hopped on here, and I can't wait to dive in.
Same here. Can you please share a little bit about your journey and background with my listeners?
Yeah. So, you know, originally, I don't know how far back you want to go, but I'll just rewind maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And about 6 years, actually, you know what? It's 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago now. I was in my 3rd year in real estate, and I was a real estate investor and realtor in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, I was kicking butt. I was making a good 6 figures, but I felt burned out because I felt like I was called to something more. And in reality, I was an overstressed business operator instead of a business owner. And I was just in this grind. And I don't necessarily now, we'll dive into it, I'm sure, later, but I don't really believe that you need to just hustle and be in that grind endlessly. And there's a lot of ways to work smarter and to create business growth. But I made a shift in my life inspired by the 4-hour work week and went to Buenos Aires, Argentina for 5 weeks of truly unplugged time. I literally did not turn on my cell phone and created a whole separate email while I was down there and made two work calls my first week, and that was it. And but I created a mini sabbatical and created a pathway for me to create a new pathway for my life. So, and came back and started three new businesses. I realized I was called to be an entrepreneur when I came back. And the next year I started three more businesses. So that's kind of how I got started. And then along the way, got involved in Tony Robbins, a bunch of other, spent over 1,447 hours with Tony, going to his events, and have grown so much as an entrepreneur and business owner, and, you know, been through some really tough times too. But I'm on the other side of it. And, I consider myself a socially minded entrepreneur and creator now.
Fantastic. And you'd mentioned Tony, which is no stranger to my listeners and to anyone out there. What an unbelievable personality and an amazing energy. I just get pumped up every time I turn on Netflix to watch I'm Not Your Guru. Right. What were some of the biggest lessons that you learned in all those hours that you spend with Tony personally and business-wise?
Yeah, great question, man. It's, you know, I had six core lessons for my personal side and then six for my business side that I wrote some articles for. The first, man, the power of gratitude. You know, if you look, if your life is riddled and rife with jealousy and bitterness, it's really hard for you to shift into abundance. And what we all want often as entrepreneurs, as creators, is abundance. We want the sense of there's more than enough to go around. So living with gratitude, he has some hyper intentional gratitude practices that I did it this morning, of starting my day off with a gratitude and meditation practice around that, focusing on three things that I'm grateful for today, three things I want to create, three ways I've seen God or the universe just act on my life, act on my behalf, instead of, like thinking the world is against me. What ways is the world actually for me? So that's one. Number two, that guy is a friggin' master of creating environments filled with love and joy. Have you been to any of his events, MC?
No, I've not been to any of his live events. That's definitely on my to-do list.
Yeah, dude, get it on your short list. When I finally went to my first one in 2013, I was blown away, and I had regretted not going sooner, because it just took me to a whole different playing field. Like, I literally doubled my income, doubled my net worth the next year because my mindset shifted so much. I became so much more resourceful, confident, determined to be outstanding, not just satisfied with being good enough. You know, there's so many different things that he does in his events. I mean, he helps you really eradicate your core fears towards achieving your destiny. And no one else in the world does that better than him. And he just really sets you free to step into what you feel like your destiny is. But man, I learned so much on the business front, which I can dive into as well if you want me to hit on a little bit of that.
Let's jump into the mindset part first, because I think, you know, there's a listeners all over the world in many different places, and everybody's in a different stage that they find themselves in. And there are these core beliefs that hold us back, and this middle class mindset that hold a lot of us back. So I think the first thing to do is, when you're looking at is acknowledge and accepting that there is a problem, and then trying to figure out and understand the problem. So what are some of the habits of those with a middle-class mindset that we find ourselves doing every day that we might not even think about or be aware of? And how do we stop this patterns of these habits with this middle-class mindset?
Yeah, dude, I'm so glad you brought up the middle class mindset. It's something I've been thinking about and talking a lot about, ironically, in the last 90 days with some of my clients, some of the people in my mastermind. Just the reality of if I insist on doing everything, right? Like I'm looking out at my house right now. I haven't mowed my own yard in the last 10 years. I don't, you know, I have a house cleaner. I have a marketing team of 12 or 13 people. I've had an executive assistant or assistant for like 6 or 7 years. The middle class mindset is one that, hey, I can do this, so I'll save money by doing this, versus the mindset that is a leverage mindset that can help build wealth, like true wealth, true freedom. Sometimes some of us, it's not about wealth, it's about the freedom side. But if I have a mindset of I'm going to leverage my time, for example, I have certain activities that I know bring me $500 or even $5,000, and even some that bring me $10,000 an hour. So why in the world would I insist on painting my own like wall that I can pay someone $30 an hour for? Or why would I even, I don't even put together my own furniture. I don't know how to do it. I suck at that. Right. I ideally don't even want to pay my own bills. I don't want to do certain things like that. Not because I'm above that, but it's because it's not the highest and best use of my time. It's not, and it's also not my area of genius. I'm not that great at managing the details. And I'm called to create and drive progress forward. Like my strengths are strategy, ideation, architecting a business, or helping a leader architect their next steps in their business, or whatever it is. Right. Right. And if I can leverage my time, make $500 for this hour, and then that just bought me, you know, $500 would have bought me 10 hours of paying someone else $50 an hour. Right. And then so I can travel and have freedom in a dramatic way.
It's so, so true. Cause I think about, I had a mentor of mine talk about problem solving as well, where, and there's some other folks talking about it too, is that, you know, the first thing is, do I have the skill set to solve it? Is it almost part of your stupid human trick, as some folks have called it, right? Something that you don't even think about. You just do it and you excel well at it. And if it's not falling into that, that's something where you then leverage someone else's resources and skill sets to be able to solve the problem or attack the challenge. And I just, I see it, and it's so ingrained in that middle class mindset, that do it yourself type of thing, because nobody can do it better. And it's something that we don't even think about, but it happens every single day.
Yeah. And speaking of, we were chatting earlier, do you know the rule of delegation, like when you should delegate something to someone?
Please go ahead and share.
Yeah. I'm curious. I bet some of your listeners need this too. But rule of delegation, there's two of them in my mind. First, this one's commonly shared, which is if someone can do something 80% as well as you can, you should delegate it all day long. So you look at, instead of, like, sometimes we're like, if you want to get it done right, you have to do it yourself. No, that's BS. And it's a limiting factor. If you can't step into, oftentimes you can't step into higher leverage activities. Now, for me, my highest leverage activity is building strategic partnerships. And if I'm doing that, that's sometimes a $10,000 an hour activity. No one else currently can do that on my team at that level, but lots of people can do copywriting on my team, right? Or
right.
Sales or other things, customer service. And so learning to delegate, and they might not do some things as well as I can, but that's okay. And then secondly is if I want to make $1 million a year, that means I got to average $500 an hour. So I got to think of my time in terms of that. And my second rule of delegation is if an activity takes a significant amount of time, and it can be over the course of a year. Like if I check an email, it takes me a significant amount of time, or writing a blog for my business or whatever. Then it's less than half of the desired income I want to make per hour that I could pay someone else to do it, then I need to delegate that as well. Otherwise, I'm basically guaranteeing that I'm not going to hit my goal.
And that ties into the next question that I have too, because a lot of us, there might be entrepreneurs, investors, business owners, you know our skill set, we know our ability, we know our worth per hour of what we can do. We built this business, we're the CEO of the business, but yeah. We also operate in that business, and we get to a point where we're operating so much in our business that we're working inside this business and not growing the business, on the business. What are some of the advice that you can give some of my listeners out there to shift that and to not build a prison for themselves? And possibly you've mentioned there were six kind of takeaways that you took from a business perspective, spending time with Tony Robbins. Maybe you could tie that into the year as well.
Yeah, you got it, dude. So shifting from a business operator to a business owner is one of the most powerful things you could ever do. And Keith Cunningham, you've probably read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Most of your listeners probably read it. It's one of the best-selling books of the last 30 years. Keith Cunningham was the rich dad in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he's a guy that I've studied under some. He's a guy that speaks with Tony at Tony Robbins Business Mastery. So I've been to 6 Business Masteries. I've been to 2 other Keith things that he does, 4-day MBA program, some other stuff. And he talks about business operators get tired. Business owners get rich. So it's which one do you want to be? If you're a great freaking business owner, at the end of the day, you're just going to get really tired at some point. If you're a great business operator, at the end of the day, you're going to get really tired at some point. If you're a great business owner, at the end of the day, some point you're going to get really rich and you're going to have a lot more freedom. Like you look at those guys that are in Italy for 2 months of the year, right? That's because they created that freedom. How you do it, ultimately, that's the question that we all want to know, right? One,
right.
Learn how to let go of control. That 80% rule of delegation is fundamental. But I feel like us as business owners, if we want to shift from being a business operator to being a business owner, we got 6 core things that we do. And I'll just list them off rapid fire for you. First, got to set the guiding vision. Where are you going as a company? Set the vision. People need vision. And that, from the leader, the creator, that's one of the fundamental things. If your people are uninspired, then they probably lost the vision, and you got to remind them every week. Number 2, you got to make key strategic decisions. You know, I have a business that we've made some great decisions early on, but then we also made one decision that unraveled or really hindered us as a business. And it was a bad decision. You know, some of the fundamental things that we've got to protect as business owners is the decisions that can shift everything in your business and can also open up new uncharted waters or also lead you down into a danger zone that you don't want to go, and protecting your decision-making energy so you're not fatigued on those key decisions is one of your most vital roles. Number 3, allocate resources. Like, where am I putting human energy, human resources? Where am I spending money? You know, allocating resources is so key. 4, build and develop exponential relationships. And those relationships, like I got a relationship with a guy that, you know, I got actually, I've got relationships with 4 or 5 different best-selling authors, New York Times best-selling authors that are good friends of mine that I can text, hop on a call with them any point I want. And whenever I want to write a best-selling book, it's right there. They're going to show me the pathway, and I won't have to bang my head against the wall, right? Meeting the right people, That's why masterminds and other things like that are so powerful. And then the fifth, recruit and keep top talent. You have an A player on your team. It changes the ball game for you, the confidence and momentum. And then number six, build and enhance organizational health, keeping your company healthy and synergized. So those are the six core roles of a business owner, not an operator.
You're listening to Mike Zeller on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor. This is MC Laubscher, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. As you may know, I'm also the president and chief wealth strategist of Valhalla Wealth Financial. We help individuals, families, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and professionals build their wealth outside of Wall Street and help investors maximize the use of every dollar in their personal economy and boost their investment gains. We do this by combining the capital and investments with the financial vehicle of the wealthy according to the infinite banking concept. If you're interested to learn more about privatized banking and the infinite banking concept, you can access an exclusive webinar at cashflowninja.com/be the bank. You're listening to Mike Zeller on the Cashflow Ninja podcast, and now back to our interview. You've touched on a lot of stuff here. One of the things that stands out is that developing that key strategic relationships and partnerships with people to leverage your gifts and expertise, and also provide a lot of value for others. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you've done really, really well. Can you share a couple of strategies of how to do that and some of the secrets of how you've been able to accomplish so much doing that?
Yeah, great question, MC. First, in terms of building strategic partnerships, you've got to know and own your own value. Like, where is your area of genius? You know, what's, I can't remember who emphasized that in the ancient philosophers, but fundamentally, you got to know thyself. Where is it that you're a freaking badass at? You're one of the best in the world at this. You're a top 1%er at this. And the more clarity you have, the more conviction you can speak of, the more value you can speak of, the more you can position yourself. For example, for me, I know my Myers-Briggs. I'm going to give you five different personality tests that you guys, everyone should know the answers to where they are on these quadrants. Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTP, which is architect, and I'll come back to that in a second. DISC, I'm a high DI, StrengthsFinder, ideation, intellection, connection, belief, and relator. So knowing those five things, and know within my businesses, and I didn't understand how all these, by the way, played out initially, but as time goes on, I start figuring it out more and more. And then the fourth, Kolbe Index, I know I'm phenomenal at starting stuff and getting stuff going. And then the fifth, Wealth Dynamics. Have you done a Wealth Dynamics test? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I've not done it.
Ah, so good, man. It's something we take my mastermind members through, or anyone I do any executive leadership coaching for. But it's when you know your, think about it as like your pathway for building wealth. If I know, hey, like for example, for me, I'm a creator. That's my pathway. Now, who I need as a creator, I need other people that have different profiles to help me operate and build the business and run it. Otherwise, I'm just going to flounder. But most of us as entrepreneurs are creators to some extent. So that's one pathway or one thing. But I know, because I've taken all those tests, fundamentally, I describe myself as a business architect. I come in, I help business owners re-architect their life and reposition themselves. So they play out of their sweet spots, they play out of their area of genius, and they design a business around them and fill in the missing pieces, you know, building that A player type team and enhancing organizational health. And I do that through my mastermind primarily, or if they're a marketing client. But because I know those types of things, now I can go in when I have an opportunity that I just put a little money in this other company, has a chance to be really big. But the business, the CEO, he sees me as a pretty phenomenal asset to have on the team, because I have such clarity on what I can do and how I can help them that no one else really has that level of clarity that I know. So if you can elevate your level of clarity to your boss, to your partners, your business partners, or to your investors, if you're raising money, man, it's unbelievably powerful.
We've talked on the show over and over about how our greatest asset is ourselves, and you have to constantly keep developing this asset, your greatest asset, yourself. Can you speak to the importance of that? And then the second greatest asset is relationships and being around like-minded people and connecting with other potential partnerships or just like-minded folks on your journey. And then maybe you can speak to a little bit of the importance of the power of masterminds as well, and what role it's personally played in your life and your development.
Dude, great questions. In terms of assets and personal development, I mean, just by listening to like podcasts like this one, where you're learning from other smart business people, other people that are achieving and creating and driving stuff forward, it really, you're feeding your mind. It's not, you're not just listening to empty music, right? That those type of things make you sharper. The next level up, like I look at these as like my daily sustenance. I pretty much always read every day a chapter or two in a book every day. I typically listen to 1 to 2 podcasts a day as well, just driving, working out, et cetera. And I keep my mind sharp, but then I also have these high level immersive experiences, you know, because those create the things we're doing here. They stack and they build, they create incremental progress. But if I want to make major leaps, I have to do an immersive type experience. For example, most of us know Tim Ferriss, right? He speaks 8 or 9 languages now, but he knows, hey, yes, will I learn Spanish and be able to improve on my Spanish if I go to a Spanish class once every 2 weeks for 2 hours? Yep, I'll make some progress. Not much, but I'll make some. If I really want to accelerate my and time collapse my progress, I got to go to Argentina, or I got to go to Spain and speak Spanish nonstop for month and a half, and then I'll be conversationally fluent. So same thing in business. That's why masterminds or, you know, high level seminars are so powerful. Tony talks about the power of proximity. When I was with Tony Robbins in the Platinum Partnership, you know, that was my first high level mastermind. It was over $100,000 a year. And I tell you, man, when I signed up, I was like the low man on the totem pole. That was like half of what I was on pace to make that year, was what I was committing to for the next year to invest in that. And I was like, how the hell am I going to pay for this? Because I like literally was in London calling up. I was at his business mastery. I'm calling up all my credit card companies to see which ones I could increase the credit limit for. Because I'm like, I got to pay 50 grand down. $5,000 a month, so I paid the balance in full. And then, but it was the single best decision of my life, investing that deeply in myself. And my psychology shifted, my level of resourcefulness, all those things, the 6 core roles of a business owner, that a lot of that comes from Tony and Keith Cunningham that I learned in spending so much time with them. And then I just distilled it down to 6 principles, and I made so many major shifts that, you know, I doubled my net income and my net worth the next year, and started like my relationships romantically were so much better. Because I was playing at another level. Some of us are playing small, and it's affecting our marriages, affecting our relationships and our business. You know, that's not even the biggest thing it's affecting, but, we can step up another level, and we need to get in those types of environments that just accelerate your learning and growth.
Mike, one habit I've observed from wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying new subjects and learning new skill sets. And we just touched upon constantly developing yourself, investing in yourself and the power of proximity, right? What are you currently studying and what skill sets are you currently learning?
Great question. So skill sets, Blue Ocean Strategy. Have you read that book yet? Do you know that one?
Yes, I have. Great book.
So freaking good. Yeah. So they just came out with a new one. I haven't read that one yet, but I'm getting ready to read. I've started their one of their other little booklets, but learning how to play in that blue ocean of, you know, where you're creating value innovation, whole new product categories. Like Uber created a whole new value category. For example, Uber started the same year that I started my car dealership. Guess what my car dealership's worth? Arguably less than $1 million. What's Uber worth? Like $70 billion.
Right.
Because they created a value innovation versus I'm over here swimming in a Red Sea, meaning sharks are eating other sharks, price gouging, focused on competing head to head versus where could I go that there's really not any competitors. Right. And that's what's really cool about Blue Ocean. So I'm really thinking through that and looking at my businesses to see where am I swimming in a red ocean and blue ocean and where could I shift or do I need to close that business because I'm swimming in a red ocean and it's never going to get better. And then, you know, I'm investing, I've got to put a little money in this tech company that tech company went from worth $5 million to over $30 million in a matter of a month this summer. And it's got this really cool hologram technology that's, you can use within your phones and, you know, augmented reality. It's an early stage innovation. It's a blue ocean, right? That's why the value side of it is so high and it's accelerating because, you know, it was the best 50 grand I ever committed to put in a venture. Thus far, you know, it will be my biggest payday once it sells next year at some point. Because I invested now I look in hindsight, I'm like, dude, the reason that's succeeding partly, you know, I invest in the right person as the founder, but I also invested in the right ocean, the right strategy. So I'm really thinking heavily about that at the moment.
A core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
That's a tough one. First, I would say, pursue living your dreams with love, humility, and gratitude. And but also pursue them with great courage. Do not let fear rob you of the gift that you're called to live and to rob you of taking the next step. Whatever that may be, you know, because I've seen the impact of fear just holds us back, robs us of years of our lives. In terms of what we could have done or accomplished. Secondly, invest deeply in relationships and be hyper intentional about relationships because they affect your energy. They affect everything. You know, that's the whole principle of the mastermind is it affects, you know, put yourself in proximity with other high achievers. But not just business wise. I want to be around other people that have great marriages, that have great health. You know, their physical fitness is important. They're spiritually connected with God and with other people and are generous, like you're talking about here. How could you do more than just achieve? And you achieve in a way that honors others and unleashes their own ability. Number three, I would say, know and discover your giftedness. That is one of the biggest things that I've seen transform my life and transform people in my mastermind. So when you know your area of genius, then you know how to position yourself. You know which types of careers or which types of business opportunities you should be in and which role to play. So I would say that's one thing. that is really empowering. And also romantically, like with my fiance, when her and I did like the Myers-Briggs together, and she finds out that like I'm an INTP. INTPs have they're the only personality type of the 16 Myers-Briggs types where the spouses or the significant others of the INTPs have support groups, because we're like difficult to understand and we don't communicate as much. And we're always in our mind working on something, architecting something. And when she understood that, and then I understood her type is one of the most expressive types and emotive types, then she's an ENFJ, then I was able to appreciate her instead of like being frustrated at her for being different. And she was no longer frustrated at me for being different. Instead, we appreciated each other's differences instead of being frustrated at each other for each other's differences.
How can my listeners learn more about you where can they reach out and connect with you on social media and your platforms and learn more about the projects that you're involved with and stay in touch?
So I've got a website, MikeZeller.com. You can check that out, see some of the ventures that I'm involved in. If you're also one of those high-level achievers that's ready to go to the next level and you want to get in more proximity, I do have a mastermind that is still taking, I think we've got about 4 or 5 slots left. It's not cheap, but it's not overly expensive. We're not talking Tony Robbins expensive. But it's, you know, it takes an investment because, you know, we want a high level group in there. So you can check me out there on MikeZeller.com, which has a link to RisingStarsMastermind.com. My Instagram is Michael R. Zeller, and then Facebook, Michael R. Zeller, on LinkedIn and Twitter under the same profile name as well. So those are some of my sites. You can see what I'm up to there, but I'd love to connect with some of your listeners, you know, and see how I can help and how I can serve and anything else I can do for you as well, MC. I'm glad to appreciate you having me on today as well.
Yeah, this has been a blast connecting, and thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners, Mike.
You're welcome, man. Hope it was impactful, and hope to hear more from you.
Thank you for joining my guest, Mike Zeller, and myself on the Cashflow Ninja today. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. I'm always trying to learn and improve in every area of my life. So if there's any way that I can provide more value for you and serve you better, please reach out to me at info@cashflowninja.com. If you're not a subscriber to the Cashflow Ninja Gosh Good newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com or text Cashflow Ninja to 442. Smart investors know that the banks actually don't own most automatic teller machines. In fact, the opportunity for private investment provides stellar passive returns, figures in the double digits, with the added bonus that most of the income is tax-free. Who wants to walk blindly past an ATM and not cash in on that opportunity? ATM machine ownership brings you a steady stream of hands-off passive income. Dave Zook and the Real Asset Investor team have been providing opportunities for investors in this uptrend activity of ATM use. If you are an accredited investor and would like more information on how you can invest in this exclusive asset class that very few investors will ever have access to, you can sign up for your free webinar on how to create income streams from ATMs at cashflowninja.com/real-asset-investor. Jimmy Freeland and Bob Scott have been in your shoes and have used real estate investing to create passive income and become financially free. In just over 3 years, they've created a lease option empire with over 170 properties. They can show you how to do the same. To get cash flow within 30 days, go to joinupsproperties.com. You can also check them out on YouTube. Just search Joinups Properties or call Jimmy and Bob at 314-799-2247. The wealthiest investors on the planet know how to capture their wealth and leverage it to perpetually grow it. If you're interested in learning the premier strategies of the wealthiest individuals and families on the planet, you can access an educational webinar at cashflowninja.com/be-the-bank. That's our show for today, everyone. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.